Ja, Lobe den Herrn, ja, Lobe den Herrn. I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. I wish us God's blessing with all my heart. I hope that we all laid this weekend already before the Lord, believing that He will bless in a special way. It's of course the last weekend in this year. The time comes and goes. Every day, every week, every month is gone very quickly. Also the time of grace is coming to its end. We see it on all what is taking place, what is going on. We are just grateful that we can have the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet. If we look into the world, one could get afraid. Everything is really coming to its end. There's no hope anymore, only in God. There are a few things to announce. Firstly, I would like to give you all the greetings from all over Africa and from Europe, from brethren, from Finland, Denmark. Brother Wallström is always greeting you. Brother Graf is sending greetings. Brothers from Nairobi, Johannesburg, from Cape Town, they're all greeting you. From Libreville, from Kinshasa, from everywhere, the brethren are sending greetings. They are joined with us in the Lord. We are glad about the possibilities which we have to transmit the word into all the world, to be connected, even tonight on the internet. We are greeting all worldwide, especially my friends in Chile. You all heard about it, of how God blessed, how He helped there. For today's time, it's a miracle if after two meetings, 125 persons are baptized biblically. This is God who is working such by His grace. And the Lord willing, on coming Thursday, I will return to Chile and then also to Peru to bring the word of the Lord there, to answer questions and to help. It is just like this, that we are here to serve. We are here to serve. And so we are thankful that we have the possibilities to carry the word of the Lord. But I want to say honestly and sincerely here, we are glad that our friends are here from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Poland, friends from Italy, Austria, Switzerland, France, Netherlands, Belgium, from everywhere they are here to hear with us the word. Maybe also to show the whole world that there are still people who have a hunger and that God's word is being fulfilled, that He Himself will send a famine, not a hunger for the natural bread, but to hear the words of God. And this is our desire at this place, nothing else but to let God speak and to really believe as the scripture has said it. As already mentioned, the last weekend in this year, and God willing, the first weekend in the coming year, Saturday the 1st of January and Sunday the 2nd of January. if the Lord gives us grace. Then we have to give you greetings from the brethren from the former Yugoslavia and from Romania. In Yugoslavia, the meetings were not so large, sometimes 40, 50, 60, 70 persons. But we are thankful for every soul, for all the brethren, and for all the sisters in all the countries. In Romania, it was different. There, about 1,500, 1,600 were in each of the large meetings. From 12 cities, they were coming by bus to hear the word of the Lord. Just so nice that also in countries where there is poverty, that still our brothers made use of the possibility and that they have come. It was a nice time. We are very grateful to God for it. Then I would like to announce, and this also with all my heart, that if the Lord tarries, that we are planning an Israel trip from Monday the 2nd of May up to Friday the 13th of May. And we would be glad if quite a number would come with us, because this is the only part which we can contribute to the land of Israel, that we make a visit there. Many tourists are no more willing to go there. But we in this sense are not tourists. We are going into the land of the Bible. And up to now, all, without exception, all were blessed who went with us to Israel. Then there are prayer requests from a Mrs. Wirth, who is asking for prayer for her son, who has to stand before the custodial judge. We shall pray that God gives grace and that the judge would not be too hard with him. He did something wrong. Also, other prayer requests are here. Brothers and sisters, let us be honest. Only if we ourselves are affected, then we feel the actual pain. But in the body of the Lord, it shall come to the point that we feel with everyone that the need of others becomes our need. And that what happens to others, that we bear it also with our hearts. One more question. Who is here today for the first time? May I ask to raise your hand? Do we have someone who is here today for the first time? I don't see any. Even I put on my glasses. The last announcement, we have a circular letter here with the headline Special Decisive Edition. An edition which shall lead to a decision that we take our stand before God and that we really put ourselves onto the side of God. And as we heard already in the word of introduction, that we believe as Abraham believed, and that we go along on our inside with what God is presently doing to to say it honestly, we can all look back and speak about what God has done. But if that, what God did, does not lead us to what God is presently doing, then we did not understand the doings of God. In the days of Moses, one could have looked back and looked back, but then a new time has set in. Promises were fulfilled, and the Lord was leading His people on. And so, we must also now go with and know that God takes His servants, He takes His prophets, but He remains with His people until we really come from believing unto seeing. Concerning the earthly things, the political things, we all heard about it, the uniting of religions, uniting on the highest level. And this already the Vatican proclaimed into all the world almost 1 year ago. That the moment has come where the world government and the world community should be under one roof and will be under one roof. Today we will not go into details, but we are feeling, we see how the church of the living God is coming more and more under pressure. We really do not fit anywhere into no denomination, into no religion, really nowhere, only into the kingdom of God. And as we heard already in the word of introduction, in Revelation 14, we have three messages. The first one we have heard from verse 6, and then onward in that what was announced, and not only announced, but what was declared from heaven. This is also very important that we pay attention to the several points which are mentioned there. That we pay attention and that we understand all the things through the Spirit with the proclamation of the everlasting gospel is directly connected. Revelation 14, verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come." And then follows in verse 8, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And then follows the third one. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." We will not go into details, but we see what God has connected with the preaching of the everlasting gospel. And we recognize in this connection how important the prophetic ministry was to understand all the symbols which are written in the book of Revelation. We have it here of the mark. We have here all the symbols of the beast and of the image of everything. And I tell you, no man, no preacher, no evangelist could have told us the meaning of all these descriptions and symbols. There was the need of a prophet and the need of a prophetic ministry to show us in this prophetic age all the things which are now so very important, because the whole world lies in wickedness, to reveal unto us all the things which are now so important, so that we can make our decision before the door closes, and to place ourselves unto the side of God by grace. This is how God wanted it in His own counsel, that not people are presenting their opinions. This they have done long enough. The moment has come where the opinions of men have nothing to say unto us anymore, but only God's holy and revealed word. We who we have recognized the message by grace, and we who we know that the things which are written here, that they are becoming reality in our time. 2,000 years have passed, and we have the great privilege to live now and to receive now the revelation of what was really hidden throughout all the time. And to really place the things biblically which are going on now. You all know I've written the book, The Revelation, a book with seven seals. We don't have to go deeper into the text here. I just wanted to emphasize once again, when God promised a prophetic ministry, first of all, then it was necessary. Why was it necessary? Because the word comes to the prophet, and the word came to the prophet. And I said it many times at this place. We, and also I, would not have known all these things, but God has graciously visited His people and has really taken us into the Holy of Holies. How often the pillar of fire and cloud came down, and the Lord Himself spoke as in the days of Moses, and has given us instructions by His grace. Brothers and sisters, this should be the proof unto us that we were not only called, but that we were chosen. Because here's the point. All will fall into the error. All. Only those not whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world. And this is the big difference. We are predestinated to be sons and daughters of God, being with God throughout all eternity. And we see the big difference between the church, between the churches of this world and the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn, the church which really was born of the word seed by the Spirit, to by this be partakers of the divine nature, having received eternal life already now. Brothers and sisters, the comparison which we can make, we find it in the Old Testament. I brought with me a Bible which I started to read from scratch from Ezekiel 20. I would like to read some verses before we continue our word observation. Here we have the people of Israel before our eyes. And we must always think here on us and on the New Testament church. Here we have the comparison in Ezekiel chapter 20 from verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, I lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. Here we have read it the first time. The Lord lifted up his hand and he took an oath. Straight afterward it said, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day, listen closely, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them, so the third time, to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the crown of all lands. This was the decision of God. In verse 8, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not, every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Let us read verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign. He who goes with this to Exodus 31 can find out it was a sign between Israel and between God. I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. And then, verse 13, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. Verse 15, yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land of promise, which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Before, three times God took an oath. He swore by himself to give them the land. Then came the wonderful Exodus. The pillar of fire was there. God manifested himself in a supernatural way in the time of the leading out. And then came the testing time. And in the testing time came the trouble. And the tests, they did not pass them. Brothers and sisters, we are not looking down upon the people of Israel. We are just learning a lesson that the greatest promises which God gives, which he even confirmed by an oath, to believe them and by obeying them, they will be fulfilled. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. And we are not sons and daughters of Moses, but we are sons and daughters of Abraham. With Moses was the law. With Abraham was faith and the promise. And we see, and let us read quickly, verse 23. In Ezekiel 20. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. In one single chapter, the Lord God swore by himself three times to bring them into the best, into the nicest land, into the land which is the crown of all creation. And then, in the time of testing, in the wilderness, the Lord God says, I swear that they shall not enter. And this was not enough. Then comes a third oath, that he would scatter them among the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, here we have a very great lesson before us. I just read two more verses. The one, this is verse 27. Just imagine what is written here. Ezekiel 20, verse 27. Therefore, Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have been unfaithful to me. Being unfaithful to God was blaspheming God, despising God, because God was speaking. God made a covenant. God was ready and willing to fulfill his word. God was ready to fulfill what he said. And behold, they were blaspheming him, becoming unfaithful, breaking the covenant, and so forth. Then it says in verse 35, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. I don't know how we are feeling now when we hear and read such words. God is a merciful God, but not all can do what they like. God has an order, and He had an order with Israel. He has given His word, the law and instructions. He wanted to be the God of Israel, and He is up to this day. But what good is it when the people of Israel today have 613 do's and don't do's? What good is it when they up to this day are walking in error, and the veil of Moses, their greatest prophet, is still upon them? Because it is written, the Lord came to His own, and His own received Him not. We have looked at it here in Matthew 21, was fulfilled. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you riding on a foal of an ass. And all were jubilating. Hosanna, were singing. And the Lord had to say, especially in the parallel scripture, Luke 19, that they have missed the day of God's visitation. What good are today all the charismatic meetings? What good is all this religious business when God does not come to His right in us? And brothers and sisters, we don't think to be better than other people. Just the contrary. He who is honest with himself will always think better of others than of himself. I don't know how it is with you, but that's how I see it. But it is not about what we think of us or of others, but whether we are ready to do the will of God, whether we are ready to walk in the ways of God, to receive correction. When we, for instance, preach the gospel, as already said here recently, we said it, what good is it for the people when they refer to one scripture only? Let's say Matthew 28, verse 19. Not understanding by revelation of what it is about. Just yesterday, I had to answer a friend. I don't know him personally, but he calculated that the return of Jesus Christ will take place in the year 2132. And then he's complaining in his letter to me. I was writing back to him, but he's complaining that I do not obey the command of the Lord when we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said that this is a wrong teaching. I was answering him politely, but with some scriptures. Believe me, everything is grace based upon revelation. No man knows it by himself, except it is given to him by God. When we then read in Revelation, we read already, and when we then go from Revelation to Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, here the Lord once again was swearing by himself to show us his promises. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Also, this verse we have read many times at this place. Brothers and sisters, of what is it is about now is that we not only place the world situation correctly, also the political things united with religion, all the world religions, where the rulership of the world is uniting. It is mainly about our preparation, not only about the calling out, but about our preparation. And when we emphasize time and again the doctrinal part, namely that even the smallest deviation from the word of God is of the devil, it's just like that. The word of God does not tolerate that something is added or taken away, but it must be left in the original as it is written. And when we then read in Galatians 5, verse 9 and 10, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, then we know what is meant by it. All the traditions cannot be taken over. We must become a whole new lump through and through by the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the description, especially in the Epistle of Peter, and out of this I would like to read some verses. From Peter, here we have the description of the return of Jesus Christ, starting with 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, very well known to all of us. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This has become true with us by grace. And no man may come and tell us something else. For instance, that the Lord has come already. Now straight to 2 Peter chapter 2. And there we have to pay attention. Here it is written, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Even denying the Lord who bought them. So it's not outsiders, but those belonging to the church. People whom the Lord purchased. And as Israel had to go through tests, so we also must pass the tests. We must keep the sound and pure doctrine. I've said it last Sunday in Zurich. The false prophets can be everywhere. Everywhere. All over the world. But the false teachers, they are always in our midst. Let us say it openly. As true as God has sent a prophet, and as true as he revealed his word to us, so true there are teachers who introduce teachings referring to the message and to the messenger and bring upon them swift destruction because they go beyond the testimony of the Holy Scripture, presenting their own interpretations to the people. Then we have the warning in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Let me say it here. He who leaves this right way, he goes astray. There's no other way. And to say it very clearly here, he who reads 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 attentively comes to the verse, because they received not the love for the truth, therefore God has sent them strong delusion. Because he who does not believe God makes him a liar. One must take the word of God seriously. There's no leeway. One cannot say, this brother is right, or this brother is right. God is right, and his word is right. To us, this weekend, the following is important. What must happen with us? What belongs to the restoration? That everything is brought back into its original condition. Not only according to the preaching, but also in reality, that it becomes true, that all becomes as it was in the beginning. What must happen that the church, even it's only for a short space of time, what must happen that the church is available to the Lord as a body made up of many members? But a body which is alive, which is functioning, a body which is submissive to the head, connected to the head, a body joined with one another, the one member with the other member. That really everything, what disturbs this divine unity and harmony, that it might be taken away from us, and that we become one heart and one soul. Let us take a few scriptures. You all know the Holy Scripture. Born again are we unto a living hope through the forever remaining Word of God, which we received as a seed, and the Spirit of God brought forth the new life which is in the seed. We are born again to a living hope. But the new birth is not yet the filling with the Holy Ghost. Not yet that the members are melted together, that they become one body, as written very clearly in Ezekiel 37, that the several members are coming together and that life comes into the body. The church must really be brought into the condition of the early church. But here's the point. If we are satisfied with what took place up to now, then God cannot do more. God must lay a desire into us that we call upon Him. Call upon Him until He answers and until it happens. To the church, the power was promised. And the power is not in a man. The power from on high must come upon us and into us. And this is the equipment which we all need. I believe out of conviction that all who are here today, that they are all born again by grace unto a living hope. And I believe it because of the word of God, because ye received the divine seed in you. And no man can tell me that the seed does not come up. The seed comes up. The seed has come up. Otherwise, you would not be here tonight. You would be somewhere else. But you are here where the word of the hour, where the word of God is being preached with all the promises which God has given us. We have, especially in Luke, the two places, Luke 21, verse 36, very well known to all of us. The Lord speaks there about what would come upon the face of the whole earth. And then he brings the matter to the point, and he says in verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the completion unto which we are waiting for. But before the completion comes, the church will have to do a ministry. Yesterday night, among a handful of brothers, we had a wonderful time, about 2 hours, sharing and prayer. And a young brother who sits here in the front, he said, after he was asked by someone where he was going, I said, then he said, mission center so and so. And then the other person said, I passed by it many times, namely when I went to the shopping center. Here's the mission center and here's the shopping center. Yes, I passed by it many times. And do you know what thought came to me? That the moment must come where the people are passing there and are coming here and are coming here to get the divine food free of charge. Not only to say, I know it, I passed by it many times. The moment must come where the elect also from this town and surroundings do not pass here anymore, but they come in here to hear the word of the Lord. Let us come to that what our Savior promised us, namely Luke 24. This is, of course, was given to the church on their way. And I ask you all to respect what God has said in His Word. Luke 24, verse 47 and 48. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The commission was there, and then came the waiting time, and then followed the carrying out of the commission. Dear brothers and sisters, we are thankful to God that the message, that the word with all the promises is being proclaimed into all the world. Thanks be to God for it, for all the open doors and for all the possibilities. But as already mentioned, it is about the church as a whole, which was called out and which must be endued with the power from on high. And we will need a double portion of what was in the beginning. A double portion of that what was in the beginning. We will not be able to draw the attention unto us and unto the Lord, but God can do it. He will work in a supernatural way so that mankind, at least the elect, or are you satisfied that we fill the heaven without that people will still be added? So I believe that the number is not yet full. If it would be full, then the Lord would have come already. In the moment where the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then the Lord returns. So, the number is not yet full. Then we have in Acts chapter 1 also the promise of our Lord. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. Power from on high. The power of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we must always keep in mind what happened with the Redeemer, to know what happens then with the redeemed. Let us read for this from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Here it says in verse 34 and 35. Luke 1, 34 and onward. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy One who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here is written both. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. This just belongs together. The power of God, the impact of the power of God must become visible in the church. Then we have in Acts chapter 10 the description of our Lord and about the ministry which he carried out. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts chapter 2. Here we are told what happened at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we have the description straight from verse 17 in Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. It remains this way. There is no other way. And here's the point. Brothers and sisters, and to this, I actually want to hear from you. Just wait a little bit, but I would like to say that you say an amen to that. If we are just satisfied to present the Godhead biblically, if we are just satisfied to preach the water baptism biblically and to practice it biblically, then there's still something missing. God must succeed to place also the Spirit baptism biblically, so that we, by His grace, experience a biblical Spirit baptism. Because this is the everlasting gospel. There's no way around it. And nobody should think, huh, is this not the Pentecostal movement? I'm not speaking of the Pentecostal movement. Because this, we say very honestly here, in the Pentecostal movement is the main direction, remained in the Trinity doctrine and in the Trinity baptism. They were speaking in tongues around God and did not let themselves being led by the Spirit of God into all truth. But now at the end, God leads as in the beginning into all the truth. And I say it once again, if we compare the book of Acts, and this we can do, if we compare it, then every time water baptism and Spirit baptism belonged together. It belonged together. Now I'm asking myself, what has changed? It also belongs together today. It really belongs together. And God must and will give it unto us. In Acts chapter 2, we have in verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Wherever a Spirit an outpouring of the Holy Spirit takes place, there something can be seen, there something can be heard. It goes beyond the natural. The supernatural working of God sets in at the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we really have also in the same chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 2, straight in one breath, we have said it, we are told here in verse 38 and 39, we have both in 38 of the water baptism and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Always promise. It doesn't make sense to just speak about promises in general, if not the promises with which God makes a beginning in us, when the main promise, if it is not being fulfilled, How can then all the other promises be fulfilled? Let us go straight to Acts chapter 8. We don't need to read these verses, but here it is written, Acts chapter 8, verse 15 and 16 and 17, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. In the early church, faith, baptism, and spirit baptism belonged together. It's also written in Acts chapter 10, verse 47. Acts 10, verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So, both belonged always together. That's how it is also written in chapter 11, in verse 15. Acts 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. One can go to Acts 19 and onward. This is the biblical pattern. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, we and all and worldwide, the moment has come where we must come into the presence of God in faith, asking Him, firstly, to endue us with power, with authority, to carry out the ministry in a worthy way. And then, of course, also to give the faith that all the gifts and all the ministries are manifested. Most certainly, we will read about this tomorrow in the Holy Scripture, how in the early church all were baptized into one body, and then how the several ministries took place by grace, and how they were handled under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let us summarize of what it is all about. By grace, God has called us out, taken us out from all confusion, has separated us, cleansed us, and purified us. By grace, He laid the seed of the Word into our souls, was working by His Spirit to bring forth the life. And we can say together with Paul, now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. So, we have become children of God by grace. But now, it is about that we, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, are being baptized together, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's how it is written in Ephesians. So, a church which is being brought back to the beginning. A church through which God can glorify Himself. A church which is the living temple of the living God, that the Lord can again dwell and walk among us, and that we are found as His people, that God can show the difference between those who really believe Him and those who don't believe Him. Up to the point that the foolish virgins will cry out, "Give us of your oil," that such an outpouring of the Spirit takes place, that others see it and that others hear it. It is not about me. It is really about that God's word is being confirmed as the truth, and that we not only say in theory we have been led out by a mighty hand and God worked great signs and wonders, confirming His word and prophet, as written in Daniel. After the coming out comes the testing time, the probation, and then with the help of God must follow the going in into all the promises, into the land of promise. And we are really very close before that. Very close. That we believe the word of the covenant, and that God can confirm it in such a way as in the beginning. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We will pray that God makes it happen by His grace. Today, the beginning can be made. We were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We have become God's possession. But remember, the end will be crowned. Never forget Ezekiel 20. God swore by Himself 3 times, "I will give you the land, the crown of creation, the nicest country, which flows of milk and honey." And God is a covenant God. He made a covenant. Was not the blood applied to the doorposts? Has not God laid out with a mighty hand? Has He not given enough manna? Has He not let come forth water from the rock? Has God not taken care of all things? And then it is written, "But they blasphemed me. They blasphemed me. They despised me. They believed me not. They broke the covenant." Brothers and sisters, this shall not repeat with us and may not repeat with us. And here applies always the word, "He who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches." And today God wants to draw our attention that the obedience is necessary. The obedience to the word is necessary so that all the promises can be fulfilled by grace. Whoever reads Psalm 95 will find out God swore in His wrath, "They shall not enter into my rest." But here's the point. In the Old Testament was an old heart. No new spirit, no new heart, no new life. And therefore, God made a new covenant in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blood of the new covenant was shed so that in us all things can become new. And not our will anymore, but let God's will be done. That we do not blaspheme God anymore by our own ways and our own doings, blaspheming Him. But walking in His ways, in obedience to His word, so that He really can be with us. To be honest, I'm longing for it, that God manifests Himself in our midst. He has given us His word. He has given us His promises. He has given us fear for His word and living faith in what He promised. Should He break the new covenant? This is impossible. This is impossible. Not God broke the covenant, the people broke the covenant with God and went on their own ways. I repeat, what good is the Jerusalem Talmud or the Babylonian Talmud, the Gemara? What good are all the descriptions? What good are the 613 do's and don't do's? What good is the Sabbath? What good is it if God had to say, "Ye shall not enter into my rest"? So, faith and obedience on the way of God until the last promise finds its fulfillment. Now, just briefly, the view into the 2000 years of the New Testament church. The great falling away, idolatry, everything was changed. Nothing remained as it was in the beginning. Everything was being misinterpreted and practiced in a different way, so that nothing is left anymore of the original. And nobody should be angry with me when I say that in the Church of Rome, nothing, but really nothing, is in conformity with the Holy Scripture. No doctrine and no practice. All have the right to believe. All have the right to believe what they believe. Muslims, all can believe what they like. But God's people believes as the Scripture says. God's people believes as the Scripture says. And only he who believes as the Scripture says gives honor to God. He does not blaspheme him. He gives honor to God when we believe as the Word of God says it. I hope that we are not ashamed of this. Even we are despised by the people as a sect and all kinds of things. Doesn't matter. The important thing is that we keep God's word in our hearts and that we ponder on it and that we believe it. How many will pray more from today that God lets the moment come where we are really endued with the power from on high, as in the early church, endued with power. And just to mention this also, Brother Branham had really a ministry as written in this book. Divine authority. And Brother Branham said that what God did through the church angel will also take place through the church. Not just one man, but the whole church will be included, and God will distribute gifts and ministries by His grace. We are just before the greatest working of God which the world has ever seen. Right at the end, God will shake the heavens and the earth. And it is written, heaven will obey the earth. That what God decided in heaven and what He said in His word will take place on earth. It will become true as sure as God said it. May the blessing of the Almighty God rest upon all of us by grace. And may His word also tonight not return void, but may it accomplish for what he has sent it for. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Not you and not I. He. It is he who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. On him we can trust. He will confirm his word. And he will do what he promised. We believe and he acts accordingly. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord. Let us thank him together for that, what he has done already, and for what he is still going to do. Let us sing Just As I Am. As we have our heads bowed, let me ask whether special prayer requests are in our midst, which we can bring together before the Lord. Is somebody in need? Are there special requests, be it for you or for others? We will just pray for one another. And together we will believe, and the Lord will confirm His word. The sick get healed, the bound ones get delivered, and he who is lost is getting saved. The Lord is present. Let us pray together once again. We are all raising our voices. Dear Lord, your ever faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts. Even we are weak according to the body, you are strong, O God, and your word is an almighty word. We thank thee for your presence. We thank thee for the working of your Holy Spirit in our midst. O beloved Lord, save what is lost, deliver what is bound, heal what is sick, and baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Confirm thy word in our midst. Give the restoration that so that all things are restored in its original condition. Because that's how you promised it. We thank thee for it. And we praise your name. Dear Lord, we glorify the power of your blood and of your word and of your spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ sei Gott. Christ sei Gott. Christ sei Gott. Hallelujah. Rühme die Kraft des Blutes.
Glorify the power of the blood and of the word and of the spirit.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Segne auf der ganzen Erde.
Bless all over the world. Bless your people worldwide. Do something new, something tremendous through your word and through the power of your blood.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Preis, Ruhm und Anbetung. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Oh Herr. Oh Herr. Hallelujah. 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 Oh Glory. Glory deinem herrlichen Namen. Du bist in unserer Mitte.
You are in our midst. You are present. You are speaking. You are working. You are saving, you are healing, you are giving revelation, you are giving revelation. Blessed be your name, your wonderful name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to you. Thanks be unto you. Beloved Lord, you have a blood-bought flock. Hallelujah. Which received your word. Praise be unto you. Praise be unto you.
Geliebter Herr und Heiland.
Beloved Lord and Savior, we wish to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, with the power, with the power from on high, with the power of God, with the resurrection power, with the quickening power.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh God! Oh God! Habe du deinen Weg.
Have thine own way.
Habe du deinen Weg.
Have thine own way.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Singen wir, oh, es ist Jesus, oh, es ist Jesus.
Oh, es ist Jesus, oh, es ist Jesus, oh, es ist Jesus, nur allein. Ich habe
Halleluja, ich lieb ihn, ich lieb ihn. Amen.
You may be seated.